Hi, Daff.
Hello, Mother.
How are you?
I'm a master. How are you?
Still a master.
Still a master. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thank you. I'm short. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You were all good in the hood. We're not sponsored or anything, but everyone should download and go play the Tree app. It is so, like, it's not fun. Okay, that's wrong way to put it. But you basically just roll a dice and watch advertisements, but then you send treats to dogs and shelters, and then you get to see who's adopted. Like, of the, I don't know how many dogs total I've had in the game, but as of this morning, I've had 7 of the dogs that I've sent treats to, and some I've sent multiple bags of treats to. And I upgraded my plan to pay $11 a month to send meals to said dogs as well, like shared meals that I send like a couple bags of food a month or something. Anyway, it's for a really good cause. Instead of like doom scrolling, it's just way better than doom scrolling. Yes, download the Treat app. The Treat app is, it's way better than doom scrolling, I think. I sit in bed or I sit on the couch and watch Vanderpump Rules. And instead of doom scrolling like I normally would, instead I'm sending treats to dogs. I think as of the other day, I posted an Instagram story on our Instagram, not my personal Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I think as of then, I had sent like 52 bags of treats or something like that, 52 packages to these dogs. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. They also participate in like medication drives too. So you can, these packages, instead of sending just treats, you also send medications. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, I've sent medications to several of them, but I think they're like mostly flea and tick pills, which is awesome.
Yes. Flea and tick prevention is very important.
Yes, it is.
Heartworm disease and Lyme disease. Mosquitoes are, yes, heartworm.
And I know that, you know, it might sound like an oxymoron that mom raises Frenchies and I'm here supporting shelter dogs. But we've always had shelter animals. Like, we still do have shelter animals in our lives. And mom's purpose in wanting to raise French bulldogs was because people are going to have them regardless. And we had heard of too many people that had them that were dying from being unhealthy, poorly bred, unethically bred dogs. And because of my mom's love for them, was why it started.
Yeah.
Because it's a restorative love for this breed.
And we also donate to shelters. I donate every month to iHeart Dogs, and I donate to our local animal shelter a couple times a year, like a chunk.
Yes.
And then my friend has a rescue, and I donate a chunk to her rescue also.
Yes, and we have rescue dog license plates on our cars. We have, you know,
yeah,
that goes towards rescues. I play the Treat app, which sends stuff to rescues. Like, we are still heavily involved in trying to give shelter dogs and shelter cats as well better lives.
Yep, 100%.
So I just wanted to, you know, say that quick little bit about it as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because I don't want anyone to be like, what room do you have to talk?
Right.
You know, a lot of it in it for the love of the breed, but also my Shih Tzu that died a year ago that I was posting about, I rescued her and she was my best fucking friend in the entire world.
And she was inbred and had heart problems and epilepsy.
Yeah. She had 2 different kinds of epilepsy, had heart disease, was on like several different blood pressure medications. The most expensive dog I have ever known in my entire life.
The most expensive free dog you ever got?
Yeah. The most expensive free dog I've ever had because she was someone dumped her. And then she was given to me. And then, yeah, anyway, you know, there's arguments for all of it. My point is, we care.
Yeah, we do care. We contribute to shelters. And I 100% believe in adopting. And sometimes a lot of the time, I still feel guilty about raising Frenchies. But at the end of the day, people want them. And at least I'm not adding to the problem.
No, you're not adding to the problem at all.
Right. Everybody who's gotten a puppy from me is like, oh, they're amazing. They're so healthy. The vet is so thrilled with this puppy. And
right. This is the best looking Frenchie that my vet has ever seen.
And I raise them. Like, I don't keep them in kennels and stuff. Like, they're literally just part of the family.
No, there's still one left. And there she is, like, just up in my room, just playing on my bed all day, every day. It's like, cool, Blondie. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. I didn't like my stuffed animals that are on my bed for when I come back home and hang out sometimes.
Right. All right. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it to it. Connecticut, here we come, right?
Yes, Connecticut. It is illegal. Okay. Connecticut does not have a, quote, bouncing pickle law, which people have heard about. The bouncing pickle, a pickle is only legal if it bounces. And that was for quality assurance reasons, because people were trying to sell pickles that didn't bounce. And then they're like, well, is this really a pickle if it doesn't bounce?
Like an A pickle you eat?
Yeah, like a pickle.
Okay, well, I don't know. There's like pickleball and then there's like these weird bingo card thingies that they call pickles. Like when you go to the bingo parlor, like, I don't know. There are more pickles than pickles.
No, it's real though. And the reason why was because two local food people were arrested for selling rotten pickles that were unfit for human consumption. So then the like FDA of the state or mm-hmm. the Connecticut version of the FDA, their food people mm-hmm. made it. The commissioners were like, you have to have it. It has to pounce. It has to pass the bounce test for it to be sold for as a pickle.
Interesting.
Otherwise, then it's not really a pickle.
Okay. That's just a soggy cucumber.
Yeah. Otherwise, then it's just a soggy ass cucumber, I suppose. Right. Hold the phone. I just lost my place. In Waterbury, it is illegal for beauticians and barbers to sing and whistle or hum while working on a customer.
Well, that's rude. What if yep. you ask for it? What if it's a request?
Right. And it's because of the strict Puritan-inspired blue laws that church leaders tightly controlled music. Yeah. Illegal. You can't sing and dance. Yeah. Anyway, you're just not allowed to sing and dance if you're cutting someone else's hair because of church laws.
Or hum.
Or hum. Yeah. No song, no dance, no hum, no musical practice whatsoever. This is not the theater.
Okay.
This is the barber shop.
Which is a different kind of theater.
Nope.
Oh, never mind.
Not really. Traffic safety, that you can't walk backwards at night.
Well, that's probably good.
Right? Yeah. It's for, you know, so you don't get hit by a car. What? Because then you can't see oncoming horse carriages or vehicles if you're walking backwards and they might hit you because they're texting and driving and not paying attention to you.
Right. And you're texting and walking and run right out in front of a horse-driven carriage.
Literally.
Or walk backwards right into one.
Yeah. People are crazy. It is illegal for two people who are married to kiss in public on a Sunday.
Stupid.
Yeah, that's odd. I mean, but I feel fine about it. Like,
yeah, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other, but that's kind of right, stupid. Right.
I was going to say, I'm not married, so it doesn't make a difference to me. And nor do I live in Connecticut.
I was going to say, nor are you in Connecticut.
I'm not in Connecticut either. So whatever. Town records can't be stored in the same place where liquor is sold.
Well, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, I feel fine about that one. I feel like, yeah, you probably shouldn't keep important shit in a place where people are going to be boozed up.
Right.
Because that just seems like an accident, a mistake, something getting stolen, something getting damaged, waiting to happen.
Right. Like, I need a copy of my marriage license. And you're like, oh, it's in the back of Fred's liquor store. I'll be right back.
It's illegal to dispose of used razor blades. I don't know what you're supposed to do with them otherwise, but basically it's dangerous to people who take out the garbage that they could cut themselves on the blades. And so not only are they getting injured, they could also possibly be getting, you know, if you have a disease, I'm passing it to you now.
Makes sense. But what do you do with them?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
I don't know what happens
to them. Again, live in Connecticut.
Right. No offense, not my problem. I have my own problems that come from Colorado.
Right.
My own random weird laws that came out of Colorado. Yeah, that's really kind of them for the most part that are like the crazy well-known ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Silly string can't be sold to minors unless they're with a parent or a guardian.
That makes sense. That's like spray paint. Spray paint here, you have to be like 21 to buy it or something.
Oh, yeah, you do. I remember one time I tried to buy spray paint in high school and I couldn't. And I had to ask you guys for help and it was weird. And it was like, well, I'm literally just trying to like paint a frame or something. Whatever I was trying to do, I wasn't going to go graffiti anything. Nobody wants to see that from me. I have horrible artist skills. I can't even draw a stick figure. It looks like it's dead if I draw a stick figure. Well, therefore, nobody wants to see that. Oh, here's another one. It is illegal to intentionally release helium balloons into the air.
I agree with that.
Yeah, because then they're polluting the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Yeah. So helium balloon releasers. Chickadee check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah. And the rest of us.
Yeah.
And the birds check and the turtles and the whales and the dolphins and the eagles. Oh, I already said birds.
Yeah. All of wildlife.
Lions wildlife, and tigers and bears.
Wildlife. Yes. Also, if you see any wildlife petitions in your state, please sign them. Do your fucking job and sign them. The administration that we are currently under, I'm not getting political, has made it legal to cyanide poison wildlife. Just drop bombs in the middle of wildlife areas and just kill all of them.
That's fucked
up. I'm not even kidding you. It was just passed.
I don't believe you.
You have stuff coming up in your area that you can sign said petitions for.
Protecting wildlife, not adding to the cyanide bombs.
Yes, protect wildlife. Like, I get it. I've had plenty of animals that have gotten eaten by something out there. Like, my fucking favorite dog was eaten by an owl. That was horrible. That was horrific that we found her tail and her intestines the next morning in our yard. But guess what? Unfortunately, that's the fucking circle of life, and we don't get to just go bomb said wildlife. Therefore, sign said petitions to protect your wildlife.
Thank you. This has been a PSA by Daphne King.
Yeah.
Sponsored by That's Disturbing.
Yes, exactly. Sponsored by That's Disturbing, in which nobody's getting paid.
Nope.
They're in which.
Heretofore.
All right, Mom, what you got?
Okay.
Keep all that in there, by the way. Do not cut it.
I won't. I'll just, yeah, I won't.
Keep it.
I won't.
This is important shit. The stakes of our wildlife matter.
I know, I understand. Are you ready for it?
Don't cut the protection of the animals.
I won't.
Yes, I'm ready. Tell me all about what you got going on today.
Okay, I have a haunting or a poltergeist.
Yeah.
And I hope you're going to like it because I obviously just did one, but it wasn't really haunting. It was more of a bad place with a little bit of ghost activity.
Carol Ann.
Yeah, poltergeist. Okay, so August of 19...
Also, I liked Paveglia, but yeah, it wasn't haunting. It was just a bad place, bad history.
Yeah, right. Because I was like, oh, the haunted, most haunted place. And then I was like, oh, there's like six ghosts. Okay.
The most haunted place only has six ghosts. All right, moving on.
Right. Okay. So August of 1977, Peggy Hodgson, a single mother of four children living in Enfield, which is a northern suburb of London, went to the Daphne's jaw just dropped. She's like, I know this story.
I have a big old smile on my face.
So I'm like, oh, I'll do this one for
Enfield.
Daph.
And I'm like, yay.
I know this. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, and I didn't want to call it that because then I knew she would know what it is and we share the drive. So I just put poltergeist.
I know. I'm sitting here just looking at Mom. Now my cheeks are hurting with a big smile on my face.
You're welcome.
That just tells you my morbid self, but whatever.
Right.
Keep going.
This single mother, Peggy, of four children, right, is living in this northern suburb of London. And she went to the bedroom belonging to two of her daughters. And she was like, hey, guys, stop making so much freaking noise.
I just want to preface. I've never actually heard the case before.
Okay.
I just know it because of The Conjuring, right? Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why I know it.
The Conjuring 2.
Yeah, The Conjuring 2. Sorry. Yes.
That's okay.
That movie. But I've never actually heard anyone talk about it. So I'm really...
I'm going to talk about it.
I'm just enunciating.
I know you are.
Anyway, so I'm really happy.
Okay, so she goes to the bedroom that's her two daughters' bedroom. Or she has two daughters. She goes to their bedroom. I can't fucking words. And I wrote this...
Bitches, stop making sounds.
Right? She's like, hey, guys, can you stop making so much noise? Like, you need to go to bed.
But in a British accent.
Yes, which I won't do. And then the girls were like, we're not making any noise, but something is shaking our beds. And she's like, you guys are so funny. Like, be quiet and go to bed, please, because all of us have to get up in the morning. I have to work, school, all the things. So just don't, please. You're funny. It's great. Love you. Good night.
Funny. Ha ha. Go away.
So the next night, Peggy is in her room trying to go to bed and she hears the sound of slippers sliding across the floor. And then she heard four loud knocks like on the wall.
Okay.
So she got up to check it out. And as she got up, a dresser slid across the floor and she was like, the house must be settling or something. So she pushed it back up against, like, she didn't think too much of it, you know?
What?
She's like,
if my dresser came rolling at me, I would be like,
it must be the house.
I don't think that would be my response.
Well, I don't know if that was her response. I just said that because she's she like, it was like no big deal. She's like, oh, huh, weird. So I'm like, she must be, right. She must have been thinking that the house was settling or the floor was shifting or something.
I would be screaming and running, ghost, ghost.
Something's happening.
Fire.
So she pushed it back up against the wall. And then within seconds, the dresser slid across the floor again. And this time, when she tried to move it back, she couldn't budge it. It wouldn't move. Daphne's like, So she's freaking out, as one would, right?
Video podcast may be coming soon and you can see my facial reactions.
Maybe. No promises.
Maybe.
She grabbed her kids and went to the neighbor's house to ask for help. Vic Nottingham and his son Gary went to check it out. And they're like, okay, sure, crazy lady, whatever. Not out loud, but they were thinking it. I'm sure they were. Because they were like, okay, sure, we'll go check it out. You
go red glue this to the floor. Don't lie, Peggy.
So they went to the house and then there was all this banging and tapping all over inside the house. So they're like, well, fuck. So they called the police and the police went to the house and they went through the whole house, including the attic, and they checked the pipes and the walls, and they couldn't find any reason for the noises that they were hearing in the house. Then the oldest son points to a chair beside the sofa where a police constable would later report witnessing it wobbled slightly from side to side before sliding 3 or 4 feet across the floor and then stopping abruptly. And there was no tangible explanation for why this happened.
So whatever his hears, like, angry and mad and
it's
very
a poltergeist.
Powerful.
A poltergeist.
Well, did you define what a poltergeist is?
No, but I think a poltergeist is kind of a fuck with you ghost that has a lot of power.
Yeah, they're like very vengeful, angry things.
Yes.
Poltergeist. Otherworldly beings, past worldly beings.
They're ghosts that have an issue and take it out
they
on you.
Are angry ghosts.
Angry ghosts.
Mad powerful.
Yeah, real powerful. So anyway, police also reported hearing strange, unexplained noises, and they heard disembodied voices and witnessed toys being thrown about by no one. Over the next few days, different people went through the house, more police, council members, and clergymen who all witnessed the same type of activity. Some even claimed to be physically attacked with toys flinging around by themselves.
So, yeah, we have an angry one on our hands.
Right. So this is in August, right?
Okay.
So then September 4th of 1977, so just like a month-ish later, because I don't know what date in August
this
for sure.
Ghost is a show off.
Yeah. Peggy reached out to the press, and the reason she said she reached out to the press was because she was frustrated that the hauntings continued to escalate and local police, clergymen, and neighbors were too scared or probably most likely not equipped to stop the disturbances in her home related to the hauntings. So she's all mad. So she goes to the press, right?
Okay.
So she reached out to the Daily Mirror, which is a tabloid newspaper. It's not. It's like the National Enquirer.
Okay.
So she reaches out to them. And Doug Pence, a reporter, and Graham Morris, a photographer, were sent to the Hodgson home to report on the story. And according to Graham Morris, he thought that there was like an overall gloom in the kitchen, which is where they were conducting the interviews with the family. And they brought the family one by one to hear their version of the story. And then the last one to go into the kitchen was Janet. And Janet's 11. I don't know if I said that. I don't think I did. But Janet's 11 years old. And then things just started flying around the room. He said he was hit by a Lego brick over his right eye. And he had a lump that lasted for a few days. And there was so much force behind it. There were marbles and other random kitchen items flying around the room. And I was watching all of the people because they were all in there at this point because Janet's like the last one. And none of them were actually doing anything. They were all convinced it was an actual poltergeist and not a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mirror then reached out to the Society for Psychical Research. It's how it's spelled. I don't know if I'm
cyclical.
No, cyclical. Like psych. Like, ooh, I'm psyched, but a cop.
Like psychology?
Yes. So we're just going to call it the PSR.
Okay.
Okay. So they reached out to them and they sent out a researcher by the name of Maurice Gross. He went to the house the day after the Mirror contacted him, and the Hodgsons were at the neighbor's house and they were all like scared as hell, like the neighbors included. Everybody's like, fuck, I don't want to go back in the house. So the guys from the Mirror and Maurice went back into the house with Peggy, Janet, and Margaret. So Margaret is the older sister of Janet. She's 13 years old. And they just like waited for stuff to start happening and nothing happened. So Maurice and the Mirror guys stayed at the house waiting for something to happen because they're like, the Mirror guys are like, we saw this. So like, please stay and like, let's just check this out.
Yeah, it happened. We're here. We saw it. We witnessed it.
Right. We're just going to stay.
We're just going to, yeah, not let this family get killed by dressers and Legos.
Right. We're just going to wait. Marbles, chairs, all of the things.
Yeah.
So 3 days later on September 8th at 1:15 a.m., there was a crash that came from the girls' room and Maurice ran to their room and both girls were fast asleep. However, a chair had fallen over and he could tell it had been moved from its original spot because I don't know if he knew like where it was in the room, but obviously wherever it was wasn't someplace you would have a chair because okay. He's like, oh, the chair was definitely moved. And he was like, okay.
Maybe there were marks on the ground or something.
Yeah, I don't know. So he was like, okay, I really need to like stay here and investigate, right? Because some shit for sure is happening.
He's like, yeah, they don't feel right about this. I'm not leaving this family to deal.
So he also, yeah, he also started to experience all of the things. Objects were thrown that had enough power to smash little items, like little decorations and stuff like that, you know? Like,
are they setting up like those powder bags like they do? Like,
no.
You know, like carnival games when you throw something and it just blows up. Yeah. A little powder bag.
No.
They're setting these up to check how powerful this poltergeist is.
Well, in the article I read, because it was European, it was British, they called them ornaments, but I'm assuming it's just like stuff that you have on your shelves, like how I have those little
trinkets.
How I have those little tiny houses that I love. Like that kind of stuff is what I'm assuming is ornaments, which makes sense because they are ornamental.
Yeah.
And then like it was smashing stuff like that, and it smashed light fixtures. And he was pretty convinced that it wasn't the children playing pranks. He said he saw teaspoons slide across the kitchen counters, and even claimed he saw a sofa float up in midair and then crash down. And when it crashed down, it was upside down.
Oh.
So
it flipped over in the air too.
Yes. So that's like a powerful thing.
Is the family, they're still there.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say the version of it, like in the movie, was like they couldn't leave.
Well, and in the movie, it was a married couple with a bunch of kids.
No, they weren't married. She was a single mom.
Oh,
in the movie.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the third one.
You're thinking of the fourth one.
The fourth one. Okay.
Yeah. You're thinking of the fourth one.
I'm kidding.
No. Yeah. You're thinking of the one that had to do with the mirror.
Yeah.
No, in the second one, in this particular Conjuring movie, they were like not allowed to leave, that like they couldn't get out of their lease, and the mom was like really broke, and like they didn't, like they could hardly even keep food on the table,
yep,
let alone a roof over their head. So they were just kind of stuck.
They were screwed. Yep. Exactly. So he was like, I need to start getting some pictures of what's going on. And Janet seemed to be the most targeted in the family. So he set up the camera in the girl's room, and the camera actually literally caught Janet being thrown from her bed. And he was like, well, fuck, this is my first job as a paranormal investigator.
What do I do?
And I'm in way over my head. So
you bring some sage.
Yeah. The catalyst for him joining the SPR was the death of his daughter, which had happened right before. And so this was like super new to him. And I don't know if he joined because he wanted to like get in touch with her, and it became like a thing for him. I'm not really sure.
Like that one I did where it was like the daughter. It wasn't recent. I'm sorry. I blocked so much of it out because it's like
sad.
Yeah, I do. I literally black it out because it's sad. It's like I do all my research, and then the second we record it, it's like it leaves my memory.
Yeah.
The one, no, it was very recent, like in the last couple months that I just did, that one of that girl that got possessed and took her home
because she was claiming to be the daughter. Yeah, in the 1800s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like that. Well, sort of, except for...
Well, he was like hoping that she would come through to him.
Right. He was hoping. Yeah. I think that's why, because I don't know why they would say it was right after the death of his daughter if it wasn't relevant to why he took the job. But it didn't obviously go into detail for that.
Okay.
So he's new. He's never done this before. It's like his very first actual full on gig. And so he called for backup.
Yeah,
he's
I
like,
would, hey, too. It seemed come. way in over your head at that point.
Yeah. On September 10th. The Mirror published the story of real poltergeist activity in Enfield. On that same day, Peggy did an interview with LBC's Nightline about the unexplained things that were going on in her house. And then a reporter, like a TV personality for the BBC's Fours. BBC's Fours This World, The World This Weekend, words, was waiting for Peggy when she got home. So she wanted to interview her on TV, right? And everyone, like, but at her house. Like, okay, these other ones, she went to the interviews, but this one, she was like, hey, I'm here at your house. What do you have to say?
And then she gets a Lego in the eye, too. Right?
Things seem to fly around. So everyone was convinced that there was real poltergeist activity in the home. All of the flying and floating and crashing things just kept happening.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I'm a believer.
Okay. On September 25th, Peggy and her kids went to her brother's house, who lived just around the corner, because they were like, fuck, we just need like a break from all this craziness, right? We need to get out of here. And so they're
like, fuck. Yes. Well, just let me sleep.
Yeah, wouldn't you?
Oh, I wouldn't stay there after night one.
Probably not.
I'd figure it out. I'd be like, I'm out of here. Sorry. I'm breaking this lease.
They're sitting around the table, all like nice and relaxed and stuff. They're like, oh, thank God we're out of our house for a little bit. And Peggy's sister-in-law is serving them all some tea, of course, because they're British. And all of a sudden... a Lego falls from above and lands on the table, like in the middle of all of them, right?
So, so it's following them.
So they're like, Janet, you're the problem. It's you. The poltergeist isn't attached to the house. It's attached to you.
Poor Janet.
Poor Janet. They were trying to get a new housing situation, but I think they were kind of like on a government housing plan because the article I read said that, quote, the council was unable to rehouse them, but felt bad for them. So they sent them on a vacation for a week. Right? I'm sorry, but we can give you a trip, but we can't get you a new house.
Right. And because it's actually attached to Janet, they like actually didn't go on vacation. Right. They were still in hell.
So not entirely, but the only thing that happened poltergeist wise while they were on vacation was barking, and it was coming from the bed that Janet slept in while they slept.
The bed is just like, I'm just imagining like the sheets. No, at the top.
It's
just
coming flapping. From Janet, but like,
oh God.
Well, they don't
I would
know
be
that.
Freaked the fuck out.
But they're
out.
Like, why is Janet's bed barking?
I'd be like, sorry, kid, I gotta drop you off at the fire station. It's been a
Forget
great
11 years. Thanks for the memories. Yeah. Even though they weren't so great towards the end.
I was literally just about to say that. But yeah, I feel like, sorry, kid, you gotta go.
Right. We're going to adopt a puppy.
Yep.
Yep. Or we're going to adopt an 11-year-old
still
dog.
Still three of them. So there's four kids total. So there's still three of them, right?
But right.
Like,
or we're going to adopt an 11-year-old dog to replace you.
I don't think they're going to be of any loss.
They might be.
I'm just kidding for the most part. Just if that was happening to me, I'm
sorry. For the most part. So when they
we're
got...
seeking professional help.
So when they got back from their vacation, Maurice was like, okay, let's do this like a different way. And he decided to play knock knock who's there with the poltergeist.
wait, you might be onto something when you said that they were gonna adopt a dog because they missed the barking.
And an 11-year-old dog, so they give an old dog a home and they get one that's the same age as the kid they're dropping off at the fire station,
and they probably have the same bark.
Right. I almost said the post office, but okay. So
he's hide and go seek.
Yeah,
that sounds like a great idea
with the poltergeist. So he's like, okay, we're gonna play knock knock who's there. So one knock means no and two knocks mean yes. So he started to ask questions. Did you used to live in the house? Knock knock. So yes. Was it more than 50 years ago? Knock knock. Yes. Did you die here? Knock knock. Yes. Are you unhappy? Knock. No. Why are you here?
No, I'm having a great time fucking with this family, dude.
Basically. Why
are
you here?
I have to entertain myself somehow.
Why are you here? Is it because you want to give us a message? Knock. Nope. No message. Just want to fuck with these people.
And then I don't have anything to tell you. I'm just having a good time around here.
And then he's asked the last question. He said, are you having a game with me? And knock. No. Then stuff started like flying around the room and like a box almost hit him right in the face.
Oh,
I think
you are playing a game.
Right?
I think you
literally
lied.
It's like, okay, I'm done with knock knock who's there. Now we're going to play bowling for people with boxes.
Human pin.
Yeah. Over the next few months, random mediums and psychics went to the house. All of them were convinced that it was the real deal. A medium who practiced, quote, automatic writing.
Which, what?
Yeah, I know. I feel like it's maybe under some kind of like hypnosis or something, or they just like, I don't know, but it says that they practiced automatic writing. So sorry, I didn't look into it.
Okay.
Okay. So they asked this medium asked the family to write and draw just like random stuff, like whatever was coming to them, right? And it was said that Janet slipped into a trance-like state and she began drawing bloody and violent pictures. She also wrote the word Watson over and over. And it turned out that a family with the last name of Watson had lived in the house and that the wife had died of throat cancer. And one of the pictures Janet drew could be construed as a picture of someone in pain or sick, with the focus being on that person's throat.
Weird.
Weird. So this goes on for months, and there's more media, and there's more investigators, and there's more people staying at the house trying to catch all these unexplained things happening. And investigators are leveling up their investigation, and they're trying to get the spirit to talk to them. So all of a sudden, they hear growling and barking like a rabid dog.
I don't know why they want to make this happen like that. Like, why?
Because they want to catch it. Because people who do this, they want it. They want it. They want to bring it. That's what whole television shows are based on.
I know.
Beth. I don't get it, but yeah, Beth probably won't listen.
Okay. No, she probably won't, but I got a picture yesterday. I got a screenshot from my mom with her best friend about her new HBO picture being of Zach Bagans. And I'm like, and then she says, Daphne's probably mad about it or something. Like
she
that.
Said Daphne's going to be mad when she logs into her HBO Max or her Max or whatever.
Because yeah, I pet sit for her and I'm going to be there next month for a couple days. Anyway, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Zach Bagans.
Right. And what was my response? You may end up as an episode on my podcast.
Maybe a victim.
Yeah.
You may be featured.
Maybe a victim. So all of a sudden they hear growling and barking like a rabid dog. Then a really gravelly voice says he was Joe Watkins. But the next night, a different spirit in the same gravelly voice says that I'm Bill Watkins as opposed to Joe Watkins. So according to investigators, the voice was coming from Janet's throat. And the voice said, I went blind, I had a hemorrhage, and I fell asleep and died in a chair in the corner downstairs. And investigators were like, well, then why can't we see you, Bill? They're all douchey about it. And Bill says, I'm invisible because I'm a G-H-O-S-T.
What does that spell?
Ghost.
I feel like when they say she's talking out of her throat, like, duh.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah.
How else does the vocal system work?
Right. So
was she not opening her mouth?
Nope.
Gaping a hole out of her throat all of a sudden, speaking.
So they track down this family, the guy, the Bill Wilkins, right?
Right.
And the son of Bill confirmed that his dad had died of a brain hemorrhage after going blind in the house.
Okay. Creepy.
So Maurice wanted to make sure that Janet wasn't just like messing around with him. This is so ridiculous. So he told Janet to put water in her mouth and then duct tape it shut.
I think they did that in the movie. Well, didn't
that's ridiculous.
They?
Like,
yeah.
Hey, 11-year-old, put water in your mouth and let me duct tape your face.
And then let's see if you're still talking. No, she can't. You know why?
No.
Because that's how voice systems work.
But the voice could still be heard coming from Janet's throat, with water in her mouth and duct tape. So they had a speech therapist check Janet out, and she said it sounded like a false vocal cord tone used by Tibetan monks when they chant, but it can cause vocal cord damage if you do it too long. After that, Janet was recorded for hours speaking through her throat, and the voice never changed. So
poor
it was
Janet.
Always, so
she's like a little circus monkey here.
Yeah, give her a cigarette and a unicycle.
Yeah, poor girl. Poor thing.
Poor thing. A hypnotist, surgeon, and a member of the magic circle.
So what? He's a hypnotist, a surgeon, and a member of the magic circle.
Yeah.
He might be too qualified.
Right? He's overly ambitious. Definitely too qualified. But so this guy, he's Dr. Ian Fletcher. And I had to look it up because I was like, is that the same guy from the Karma story you did? But that was... Ian Stevenson. Yeah, because I looked up. I'm like, this is the same dude. But it wasn't. But anyway, so he visited Janet and he put her in a hypnotic trance and they did surgery on her. No, I'm kidding. And then he put her in the magic circle.
He's like, let's remove the vocal cords, see what happens next.
So he puts her in a hypnotic trance.
Still talking?
And this is the conversation.
Must be Bill.
This is the conversation between Janet and Dr. Fletcher. Do you know who's doing all of this? Janet, me and my older sister. Doctor, who do you think are to blame? Or why do you think you are to blame? Janet, I don't know who is. Doctor, what does it feel like? Janet, cold hands gripping me, gripping my body, gripping all around my body. Doctor, who started the trouble? Janet, none of us did. Doctor, what is the cause of the trouble? Janet, an increase in unhappiness. So that was their conversation while she was under hypnosis.
Bill is just unhappy all of a sudden. And so he's like, I'm going to start fucking with these people.
Well, the family's unhappy. So the Hodgsons, they invited it in by being unhappy. So the Hodgsons were kind
of low vibes, cat shit.
Yeah. Kind of an unhappy bunch. Peggy's husband, the kid's dad, had left, and Peggy had a hard time making ends meet. She was depressed and she was tired. And of course, the kids are feeling all of that, right? So during the hypnosis, also, Janet began to levitate, and this was witnessed by several people.
Creepy.
Creepy.
I would just like to say to the naysayers, how do you fake levitation?
Where are the strings?
I don't know. I'll get to it at the end. Never mind. Okay. So just before Christmas, the family's pet goldfish died. And Bill said that he had electrocuted it with his spirit power, which is rude.
Yes. Fuck. Right? Fuck.
On Christmas Day, their pet parrot died.
Oh, that's bad because parrots live forever.
Mm-hmm. And on Boxing Day, which I don't know what that is. I didn't look it up.
I think it's New Year's.
Okay. On Boxing Day, Janet was strangled by the curtains in her bedroom, and Peggy found her just in time and untangled her from the curtains.
Wow.
Then Janet claimed that a knife started following her around, and then Peggy found a kitchen knife on the stairs.
I don't know why he would want to kill Janet if she's his vessel and he wants to be like terrorizing the world.
Well, maybe he knew Peggy would find her. I don't know. So things escalated over the next year and a half.
Don't you like how I'm trying to speculate from a ghost?
Yes.
I'm like, Belle, why did you do it?
Right?
Knock, knock.
Were
knock.
You mad?
Yes.
Do you have a message?
Alrighty then, what's up?
It's okay. I'm like, are you dead over there?
I am done.
So things escalated over the next year and a half, and there's like more media and more mediums and psychics and just like this whole
all the bits
media circus and psychic circus and all this all around them, right? There's all these fucking people.
The circle circus?
Yeah, the circle circus. So all of a sudden, there's writing on the walls in fecal matter.
Ew. What the fuck?
Puddles of bodily fluids would just appear out of nowhere.
Okay.
Peggy saw a man with no legs floating up the stairs. And after she saw this, the words, "I am Fred," appeared on the bathroom door spelled out with electrical tape, which is weird.
That's very odd.
So strange.
I don't dig that for them.
No. Janet spent 6 weeks in a psychiatric hospital because they're like, it's this chick, someone's up. And doctors found nothing wrong with her mentally or physically. But while she was gone, there was no activity at the house. When she came back, right away, she claimed to see the ghost of a small boy.
Okay.
Another medium came to the house and told them there was the spirit of a 24-year-old girl trying to come through, and she was involved in the hauntings.
All right.
Maurice had a 24-year-old daughter that died in a motorcycle accident just before joining the SPR. After the interaction with that spirit, the supernatural activity just ended as quickly as it had started.
Weird.
So that was the end of it. This is the story The Conjuring 2 was based on, but in reality, the Warrens only went to the house for one day and had very little input on this case. And Ed Warren was just trying to convince all the investigators and psychics and mediums and stuff that were there that there was money to be made on this case by writing books and selling movie rights. And then they left.
Weird.
So the family has always maintained the hauntings were real. But of course, there's a lot of doubt about the depth of the haunting or if there was even a haunting at all.
A lot of naysayers.
Yeah. When the girls admitted faking the activity to reporters, the guys from the SPR told them to retract their confessions, and then the men became a joke for being so easily fooled by kids.
Wow.
So skeptics believe it was just a prank started by the children that ended up turning into a media sensation and a money grab.
Okay, like, I could understand that. However, it's like, I just don't get why they would keep it going for so long if it was, and like, injure themselves and injure others if it was.
They weren't really getting injured, though.
Yeah, but they were getting shit thrown at them.
No, it was just written on the marbles and stuff.
That's still got to be painful.
Yeah, probably. I don't know, dude.
Money grab. I really wouldn't want to be hit in the head by a marble.
No, I wouldn't. It said media sensation or money grab, right? So video recordings were heavily scrutinized and caught trickery by the girls. The camera that was used to take still frames took them every 15 seconds automatically, or it could be controlled by a remote control. So it could be argued that the pictures could be taken just at the right moment. They were saying, like, Janet, one of the pictures of her levitating, because there was a picture of her levitating, but they're saying that she was like trampolining on the bed and that it was just the way she was landing, and they took the picture because it was like an opportunity to take it.
She was just jumping on the bed.
Yeah, using it as a trampoline, but I don't know. But I mean, so, you know, she goes to land and she's like laying backwards or whatever. And then they just took that picture, right?
Okay.
But I don't know. Janet was caught on video in a room adjoining her room, bending spoons and attempting to bend an iron bar. Maurice had seen Janet. So even Maurice, who believes all of this.
So either she's sick and twisted or this all did happen.
So Maurice had even, and he believes her, right? Believes the family. So Maurice had seen Janet hitting the ceiling with a broom handle and hiding his tape recorder to like catch the sounds. Uh-huh. So the spirit of Bill also was fixated on periods, which is a slightly odd topic for the spirit of a middle-aged man.
Like period, like?
Mm-hmm. Like menstruation.
Oh, and that's not where my brain went. My brain went period, like end of, finish the sentence.
No, like he just.
He liked menstrual cycles.
Yes, he talked about them a lot. And as it happens, both girls were in or on the precipice of puberty. Bill also had a habit of changing the subject abruptly, which Janet also did. So while Janet and Margaret both admitted to faking some of the things that happened, they said the bulk of the things were real and physically draining and took a huge toll on them and their family.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's it. That's all I have, except for I was going to say that, and this was earlier when, and I said, I'll talk about it later, but it was something that I hadn't written down. It goes both ways. Like, whether you believe it or the kids are faking it or it's half and half, or when there's, this is what I was going to say, when there's a whole bunch of people that think they're saying the, seeing the same thing, then it becomes what it is.
Right.
So it's like the power of suggestion to all these people. So you're like waiting and waiting and waiting for a spoon to fly or whatever. And then something happens. And you're like, oh, yeah, we saw it. Yeah, yeah, we did.
It happened.
So who knows? I don't know.
Well, I knew that the only thing that I really knew about the real life version of it was that the Warrens actually weren't involved. That's about all I knew, was that they, yes, had like a day trip there and they were like, OK, moving on.
Yeah.
Basically.
They're like, okay, oh, they're, yeah.
Thanks for having us.
So I don't know if they thought that there was really something going on or not, because they didn't stay.
Yeah.
So, and they're demonologists.
Well, that's also, well, that's a whole other one that I've been seeing so much about lately. That's just hurts my spirit, is like the debunking of all of their stuff. Right, that it's like I'm like, I don't want to believe that. No. I don't want to hear all the bad stuff about them, because I really like the movie. So let's just keep the fiction of it going.
Yes, please.
Let's just pretend like it's real.
Pass the popcorn. Get me an icy.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you. I think it's very interesting. I wonder
who wrote the Book of Love?
No, I was just going to say, I wonder if the family actually ever gained anything off of their story. Like, if they made money off of it for real.
Oh, I don't know. Pause it.
Because it was a money grab, right? That like,
yeah, they said, but paid was for it interviews? Their
money grab, or was it like an author and the Warrens and that Murray guy's money grab kind of situation, you know?
Right.
Like, did they actually benefit from it financially? Okay, tell us, money made or nah?
Nope. So no financial windfall at the time. I'm reading this. No financial windfall at the time of the 1977 to 1979 events. The Hodgson family lived in a working-class council estate home in North London and struggled financially. Skeptics, including some investigators from the Society for Psychical Research, I hope that's what it, the SPR, accused the children of staging the events for the attention of financial gain, but the family did not secure any money from the book or film contracts or anything. The 2% confession, Janet Hodgson's later admitted to ITV News that she and her siblings fabricated about 2% of the phenomena, such as bending spoons or knocking on walls, merely to test whether paranormal investigators Maurice Gross and Guy Lion Playfair would catch them, but they did, obviously. However, both she and the investigators maintain that the vast majority of the terrifying events were genuine. Checkbook journalism. Those who defended the Hodgsons noted that, quote, checkbook journalism was not prevalent at that time in the UK, and the family received little to no financial compensation for the heavy media presence that they endured. So checkbook being paid for your story. Mm-hmm. Who benefited financially? Paranormal investigators. While the family did not profit during the haunting, others saw the financial potential. American paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren visited the home briefly, uninvited, and reported advised the investigators on the case that there was significant money to be made from books and film rights. Books and film adaptations. The story was adapted into a multi-million dollar film, The Conjuring 2. Additionally, Guy Lion Playfair wrote the book, This House is Haunted. And the family's
what a catchy title.
Right. And the family's experience was chronicled in documentaries like the Apple TV series, The Enfield Poltergeist. The Hodgson family received received negligible financial benefit or consultation fees from these lucrative Hollywood deals, Hollywood television.
So
movie
they
deals.
Made a fraction of a penny mm-hmm. on,
yep.
or a fraction of whatever. They didn't, no, they didn't financially profit from
nope,
this.
No, they didn't. So what would be the point?
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting.
Okay. I was like, oh, Daphne's going to love this because this is The Conjuring, but not really.
Yeah, the real story.
Mm-hmm.
Or so they say.
Right.
Bum, bum, bum.
I guess we have no way of knowing.
What's your opinion?
I don't know. I think probably some of it was real, but I think like the kids said that they did some of it. So we know that that's true. But I don't know if you're not profiting from it, like if it's not actually bringing you money or what. I mean, the kids obviously were probably getting some fame out of it. Like their friends were like, oh my God, you're so cool.
They're a local celebrity.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's why they kept it going for so long. if it was a hoax. But if it wasn't a hoax, then I don't know. And I think it's weird that the daughter coming through at the end was like the end of it.
Yeah.
But he was there. That guy was there for a year and a half. So he might have told them my daughter died in a motorcycle accident. She was 24 years old.
Channeling.
Yeah. Well, no, he might have told the family. No,
that they might have been channeling for real or not for real.
Right. Or yeah, exactly. Like they somehow made it up that she came through, or I don't know, or if she really did. I don't know. Yeah. It's really hard to know.
Yeah, it's confusing me.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like probably.
I don't want to think too hard about it because then I'm just going to frustrate myself, like the whole Ed and Lorraine thing of it all.
Yeah.
But I love the movie. So thanks for bringing the real case or lack thereof realness. I don't know.
No, I don't know. I
never to be known because there's no definitive evidence that ghosts exist.
Nope.
Exist except for people's experiences and what they can catch and what they can't catch and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. I'd love it if people would start a conversation on our Instagram.
What they think is real or not.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah. YouTube. There's also that where you can start a conversation. On the comments.
Yeah. Instagram, YouTube, Spotify has a comment section now.
Yeah. Give us your ghost stories and your real or bullshit opinion. Not bullshit opinion. Sorry.
Give us your bullshit opinion about this.
No. I mean, give us your opinion about this. Is it real or is it bullshit?
I think it's real.
Well,
I think it's half bullshitted, but I think it's also real.
Yeah. I think it's probably real and embellished. I think it's real and really embellished.
Really embellished real stories.
Yep, exactly.
It has truth and exaggerations.
All in one.
Yes. It's a dramatized. What is that word?
Dramatized or dramatized.
I said them both, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things happening in there. A little bit exaggerated for the plot.
Definitely for The Conjuring too.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, leave a comment. Leave your bullshit comments. Tell us what you think.
I didn't mean it. Nobody's comments are bullshit unless they are.
No, nobody's comments are bullshit. Just tell us what's up. Tell us if you think it was real or not, or if you have any of your own ghost stories. I got pushed down the stairs by a ghost a couple weeks ago, I think.
That's what you said.
Did I say it on here?
I don't know. You said it to me.
I was staying at a haunted house. I was pet sitting and I could just feel the energy shift when I went in the house, like when I was there. And I know because it's like an 1800s house in Denver, right? Like it's one of the fucking historically old homes in Denver. And I was house sitting there and it was like just the energy was so heavy when I walked in and I could feel it. And then on the last day I was there, something definitely like made me fall down the stairs. Like it wasn't me that just slipped and fell down the stairs, I don't think, because I'm pretty diligent about not slipping and falling down the stairs and smacking my head.
Yeah.
Like really hard.
Yeah. Daphne got her third concussion. So definitely beware. Be on the lookout for Daphne being a serial killer. All right. Well, thank you for playing.
Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at That's Disturbing Podcast. We also have a Facebook now, That's Disturbing Podcast. You can give us a follow there. Send us a message. We love to hear from you. Comment, YouTube, start a conversation, send us a Gmail, thatsdisturbingpodcast@gmail.com. Give us some case requests on the reels. I need some inspiration here. All right. Bye-bye.